Yo, overstated fam, we are back. Brett and I are back recording. We had a good little month and a half off. I mean, I know some of you guys were disappointed. You guys have reached out to us, but you know, I'm just going to be honest. Brett and I, we started this podcast to have fun with it. Brett lives in Hawaii. He's 6 hours behind. I'm here. We both have jobs. We both are busy. He's got a son. I've got twin daughters that just turned two, and sometimes life gets in the way, so we had to put the podcast on pause for a little bit. But dude, we are back and we have a banger episode. We are going to be going through each division for the next couple weeks here, and we're just going to give a little recap of each team's free agency, their draft, and just kind of go from there and have fun with it. So without further ado, Brett Usher, welcome back. How are you doing, my friend?
Man, it is good to be talking to you. It's been a while. The way I looked at it is, you know, I heard our guy Bill Simmons, who, you know, if you really dig deep, is probably the reason that we met each other or started talking to each other in the first place. But I heard he was taking a 5-week hiatus from his podcast, and I figured we were just kind of standing in solidarity with him on that. But yeah,
he could have copied us, Brett. He copied us. He probably listens to this podcast. Hey, it was, God damn it, I need to sign these two. They just took a 5-week vacation. Now I'm going to take a 5-week vacation. He copied us.
It wouldn't be the first time he's copied us. You know, we've had some pretty good takes on the pod, and then like magically a couple weeks later, old Billy's regurgitating the same thing. Maybe it's just a coincidence, but I don't know, man. I don't know. But yeah, no, man. It's been kind of a hectic last month and a half. Like, you know, I just got over COVID. I finally got that for the first time. Was not very fun. So that's kind of been the last couple weeks for me. But you know, I'm over it now, and ready to move on. And then before that, we had we were out in Vegas for Summer League.
We might touch on that Vegas.
We could spice them out later on that. And but you know, it's just been busy. I think the last time we talked was during the finals, which is like an eternity ago in this basketball like 24-hour news cycle that we're in. So yeah, man, it's good to be back doing this. And like I said before we started recording, I think the Northwest Division is a really fun place to start with this series of off-season recaps, because there was quite a bit that went on, and some of my personal favorite teams happen to be in this division. So yeah, man, I'm ready to rock.
Yeah, and we've been texting each other or DMing each other periodically and checking in. And I thought this would be a fun division. So let's kind of recap the Northwest Division right away. So it is, for those of you guys that don't know, I'm going to give you the teams and what their records were last year. The Utah Jazz won the division, 49, not that division titles matter, but they won the division 49-33. They were the fifth seed. They did not make it out of the first round. Denver Nuggets, they were 48-34. We all know the injury history that they have. They have the reigning two-time back-to-back MVP, Nikola Jokic. They were the sixth seed. They lost to the eventual defending champs, the Golden State Warriors. The Minnesota Timberwolves, which is a team that we are probably going to spend the most time talking about, they were 46-36. They finished with the seventh seed. They had the memorable play-in victory. I think the parade might be still going in downtown Minneapolis. We had the Portland Trail Blazers. I should say Brett's Portland Trail Blazers at 27-55. They did not make the playoffs. And then Brett's Oklahoma City Thunder at 24-58. So, man, let's get right into it. We're going to talk about the Utah Jazz and the Minnesota Timberwolves. So, like, first, let's look at this from the Utah Jazz perspective. For those of you guys that don't know, Danny Ainge is now running the team. It's very clear that this is, at least to me, Brett, I'm curious to get your takes, even though I know we briefly talked about this. It looks like the Utah Jazz are having a fire sale. It looks like they're tearing it down. They got as far as they can go. Quinn Snyder obviously is not back with the team. It's been a rough couple years from Utah. I mean, they've been great in the regular season, and they've kind of had some stumbling blocks in the postseason. So here's the big trade. So the Utah Jazz traded away Rudy Gobert, one of the best defensive players of all time and Brett's all-time favorite player. Four. Are you ready, Brett? I'm going to have to take a deep breath on this one because it's a lot. Malik Beasley, Patrick Beverley, Leandro Balmara, Walker Kessler, who was a 22nd pick in the NBA draft, Jared Vanderbilt, a 2023 first-round pick, a 2025 first-round pick, a 2026 pick swap, a 2027 first-round pick, and a 2029 first-round pick. So there's a lot going on there, Brett. I want to get your thoughts. I mean, you and I, we've talked a little bit. We're waiting on the Donovan Mitchell domino. It looks like it's going to be the New York Knicks. I think they're just probably hanging. I think Danny Ainge obviously is probably asking for the world, and the Knicks are like, eh, nah, not really. But, I mean, Are the Utah Jazz doing the right thing in your opinion, Brett? Did they go as far as they could go with, obviously Quinn Snyder's right there, but Quinn Snyder, and they got Mike Conley, Donovan Mitchell, Rudy Gobert. You know, let me hear your thoughts on the Utah Jazz.
I love what they're doing. I mean, I think they're doing exactly what they need to be doing. Like, what were you going to do? Just keep running it back with that same team. Like, we've talked about it ad nauseum, I feel like, where they were just going to be stuck in that purgatory, like, for whatever reason. Like, you know, there's plenty of blame to go around with that team, especially between Mitchell and Gobert. But for whatever reason, I think it became pretty clear, especially after this season, that this is just not a championship team. Like, their ceiling, I think, was well below that, as great as they have been at times in the regular season. So you got to know when to just blow it up. And man, like, I know we're just going to focus on the Jazz side of this right now before we get to the Wolves. But, like, they must have been like, oh, hell yeah, when Minnesota offered them what they did or agreed to give them what they did, because
I don't want to be like perverted here, but Danny Ainge had to have like the biggest hard on he's probably ever had in his life when they were like, we'll do this, and he was like, oh, he probably couldn't say yes fast enough.
Exactly. And again, we'll get to the Minnesota side of this later on. Like, I don't mean to imply that I hate it for Minnesota or anything like that. Like, I don't think trades are like a zero sum game. Like, I think they can be great for both teams, but this could not have been better for the Jazz, considering where they're at as a franchise and the direction that they're trying to go and what they're trying to do. Like, to be able to get 4 first round picks, I believe only one of which is protected, and that swap.
Technically 5. If you think about it, it's really 5, because as I said, they get the Walker Kessler. He went with them. I mean, it's insane.
True. Yeah. And he'll fit right in Utah. And like there's no bad players or bad contracts either. It's like, it's not even like they got back junk. Like, Malik Beasley has a substantial amount of trade value. Jared Vanderbilt is coming off a career year. Like, Bolmaro is a guy that I've always liked. He's an Argentinian. He's got a little bit of Ginobili. I know that's a kind of a lazy comp, but he's kind of a big playmaking point wing, I would describe him as. He's an interesting player. So it's like, they made out as well as you could possibly hope for. Like, Gobert obviously is an all-time great rim protector. He's a player that they valued a lot. He's a player that was valued around the league. Like, there's no question about that. But to be able to get 4, essentially 5 first round picks, plus a few nice players, a couple of them, you know, really young players that were high draft picks, like, it's hard to believe. And if you're Utah, like, you couldn't have been happier with that return. So, you know, you could say that Minnesota overpaid. We can get to their side of it later, but yeah, that was it fits what they're trying to do to perfection. It's exactly what they want right now. So, I mean, I definitely think Minnesota did them a big favor and gave them a nice head start on their rebuild.
I agree, man. I couldn't agree with you more. And we're going to talk about the overstated NBA Facebook group. I remember watching the Brian Windhorst course thing on First Take. I didn't see it live, but I watched it on Twitter, and I was just dying laughing. I probably watched that thing, I kid you not, probably 10 times. It is so funny, because what started all of this pre-Rudy Gobert trade, kind of an under-the-radar trade, and I remember looking at it being like, oh, like, this is, you know, this is smart for Brooklyn, but, you know, the Jazz trade Royce O'Neal to Brooklyn for, get ready for this, Brett, a 2023 first-round draft pick. So they have another first-round draft pick that they got, yeah. And you're kind of just waiting. You know, they hire Will Hardy. Will Hardy's 34. Wendy, if you haven't seen the clip, I mean, you could see it on my Twitter account. Like, I'll retweet it after. It's so funny. But, you know, Will Hardy's 34. Danny Ainge did the exact same thing with Brad Stevens. I believe he's got a 5-year contract. And now we're just kind of waiting. I mean, no matter what happens the rest of this offseason, let's just say hypothetically, I don't think so. I think Donovan Mitchell is going to get traded. Hypothetically, even if they go back with Donovan Mitchell, like, the Utah Jazz are in prime position for the future, because it's either, if Donovan Mitchell does not get traded, I'm going to assume, to the New York Knicks this offseason, it's going to happen next season. Like, Donovan Mitchell is not going to be a long-term Utah Jazz. And, you know, I kind of wrote down in my notes, is Mike Conley next? You know, is Patrick Beverley next? Do they buy Patrick Beverley out? Do they keep Patrick Beverley? Like, I do not think that the Utah Jazz are necessarily done here. Maybe Mike Conley, they hang on to Mike Conley, start the season with him, and then around the trade deadline, maybe they trade him. I just think they have a lot of options. And, man, I'm liking what Danny Ainge is doing, man. I really do. And the fact that, you know, he has all the leverage, because now this Rudy Gobert trade, and we'll go into Minnesota in a second, has just completely shocked the NBA. I think that you've seen the asking price for a Kevin Durant go up. Donovan Mitchell, like we said, like Danny Ainge does not have to settle for anything, even though I think that he will. He doesn't have to. They have all the leverage. I think this is smart by Utah to tear it down, as you said. This group got as far as they can go. I thought that they were going to be a lot better this past regular season and the postseason. I think there is 0-0-0 excuse the way that they lost to Dallas. I just think that that was ridiculous, especially with Luka being injured. Mm-hmm. And yeah, man, it was time. I could see them maybe running it back if they got to the Western Conference Finals, if they got closer, showed some sort of improvement. But this is as far as this group was going to go.
Yeah, no, I agree, man. They gave it a good try. I think they gave it an appropriate amount of time, an appropriate amount of attempts, and then it gets to a point, you know, and they're smart to break it down. And I'm super excited about their offseason. I'm super excited for Jazz fans and the direction they're going and everything. And it's weird to say that, like, pretty clearly counterintuitive, because it's like, now they suck. Like, but that's what we want. You know, we want them to be to bottom out here and just rebuild and pretty much start from scratch. But they've got so many nice assets now and all these picks. I can't believe they got a first round pick for Royce O'Neal. That seems insane to me. That might be even more insane than the Gobert haul. But hey, man, Danny Ainge, he's got a magic touch. He always has. But so it's funny to be so excited about a team getting so much worse. But you look at them now, like, I will guarantee you they're going to be one of the five worst teams in the NBA next year. So they're almost certainly going to get either Wembanyama or Scoot Henderson or one of the Thompson twins. You know, they're going to get a really nice player in next year's draft. And they've got all kinds of picks now coming up in the coming years. So you've got to love what they're doing if you're a Jazz fan. You've got to prefer this to just that sort of, yeah, you know, we might be a 50-win regular season team, but we're not really going to make any noise in the playoffs. We're not going to get to the finals even. So you got to love this. But on that note, I think they're pretty motivated to move on from Donovan Mitchell, because if you bring – you don't want to give him up for nothing, obviously, or for far less than he's worth, or even for that much less than you got for Gobert. But at the same time, like, you don't want him playing, you know, 75 games for you next year, because if that happens, you're not going to be one of the worst teams in the league. Like, he's good enough that you're going to win some games. Like, you might even win 40 games if you take this roster exactly how it is today, you know, before trading Mitchell or Conley. That might be like a 40-win team, and that's definitely not what you want, because the 2023 draft is, you know, it could be one of the great drafts you know, in a long time, if not ever. And you want to position yourself to have a top five pick in that draft. So in a sense, like, where I don't think they want to just sell off Mitchell for nothing, but I also think they're very motivated to get rid of him. And I will be shocked if a trade doesn't transpire before the season starts. And you brought up Conley, and I think Conley's another prime trade candidate.
They got Bogdanovich. They got, you know, Jordan
Bogdanovich. Bogdanovich is on an expiring contract. He's like 31 years old. He's a nice player that could really help a good team. I think he's as good as gone by the deadline for sure. It's like the guys that, you know, we're talking like Walker Kessler, Jared Vanderbilt, I think will probably stick around. Maybe Nikhil Alexander Walker. Balmaro is going to get minutes. Jared Butler is going to get a lot of minutes. Like, these are the guys that are going to be playing for the Jazz next year. They do not want to win games. Make no mistake, they have absolutely no intention of trying to pursue a playoff spot. So, you know, on that note, I think Mitchell's got to go. And obviously, they're just trying to collect picks and or talented young players that could pay off in the long run.
I agree. And Mitchell should want to go too. I do not blame him for wanting to be in that situation.
You think the Knicks are kind of you seem pretty certain that it's going to be the Knicks.
I mean, it kind of, I think it makes the most sense. Like, I would like to see him with New York. I mean, I'm sure in the next coming weeks, we'll talk about the Knicks a little bit more. I would like it. I mean, I also threw out, I don't even think I told you this. We'll get to the Oklahoma City Thunder a little bit, but I think, I'm not saying that Donovan Mitchell is the answer for OKC, but I think that OKC eventually needs to get somebody that's a veteran presence that can really help that team. I think it would be a very fun team if he were to join them. But we can talk about that more with OKC. But yeah, man, I think it's a foregone conclusion that Donovan Mitchell is going to New York. I think they're probably haggling over picks right now, and who knows? And
he wants to go. I mean, I think there's no question about that. That's where he wants to be. I think he's always wanted to be there. But I know, I think it was Shams a few days ago reported that there was like seven teams interested in Mitchell, like really interested. And it was the Wizards.
Yeah, I believe that. But I still think that the Knicks have the best offer and they have the picks.
Maybe, though. But what about, like, the Wizards are one that I keep coming back to.
Well, I would feel so bad for Donovan Mitchell if he went there. I would feel so bad.
I mean, why,
bad.
Though? It's D.C. It's a big market. They've got some players, like they really do, man. If I think I posted on our group like a week ago, like they, I mean, their roster, like they do have some nice players. And like, I mean, I think from the Wizards perspective, Mitchell and Beal could work as a backcourt. Okay. Like neither one of them is a true, you know, pure point guard or whatever, but it's like, they both have some creation, some passing ability, some handle. They're both almost like combo guards where like, maybe that could work, offensively for sure. And then, but if you're the Jazz, like if you're looking at the young players the Knicks can offer, and then you're looking at the young players the Wizards could potentially offer, I think the Wizards guys are more interesting. When you look at Denny Avdia, Rui Hachimura, your boy Johnny Davis, Corey Kispert, like Isaiah Todd, like they've got a lot of really interesting young players. And like you put that up against the guys, because the Knicks aren't giving up Barrett. So you're talking about like Quickly, Grimes, maybe Toppin. Like, I don't know. I like Obi, but like if I'm them, I'm like a first round pick or two plus, you know, three of those guys I mentioned from the Wizards. I don't know. I think they're I know that their priority has been to land a point guard for the longest time. And they got Monty Morris. I'm not sure he's a starting caliber point guard. Maybe he is. He's probably borderline. But if they think that Donovan Mitchell could be a point guard, like that could be the guy for them. And I think they maybe have the pieces to make it work. Like I think the Knicks are the clear favorites to get him. And as far as these other teams that were reported on, like I don't see really a path to do it, but the Wizards are the one other team where I'm like, I don't know, maybe they could make it happen, but who knows? That's pure speculation. The bottom line for me is I think they will be moving on from Mitchell sooner than later for a number of reasons. Like I think he probably wants out. I don't think he fits into their long-term plans, and they definitely aren't trying to win games this coming season.
Yeah, I mean, just to give you an idea on some of the stuff that's been floated, and we'll go on to Minnesota here. You know, for Mitchell, I mean, the Knicks, I mean, if you could get, you know, they potentially can get Evan Fournier, Obi Toppin, Emmanuel Quickly, Quentin Grimes, a 2025, a 2027, a 2029, Dallas's 2023 first-round pick, and a 28 pick swap. That's what Utah could get. That's not bad. That's not bad. I do not like the Miami offer, the Tyler Hero, Duncan Robinson. I mean, we'll talk about that. Dude, that is just
no.
Any team that trades a superstar for Tyler Hero, Duncan Robinson, that whoever is running that team or the executive should be fired on the spot, because that
it's
is
like hey funny. Hey Utah. I know the Knicks have a nice offer out there, but we got two white guys. Yeah. You guys will love them. Hero, yeah. Duncan Robinson. Come on, man.
And both of them cannot be on the floor for a long period of time together. Like
I'm with you. I don't see that either. I don't see any of these other teams. I think the Wizards seem like kind of a dark horse to me, but I agree with you, man. Like if I had to put money on it, it would be the Knicks because they do have all those picks. I'd have to look at the protections on them. I know there are some on those picks, but yeah, if you could get essentially, you know, four or five first round picks, I mean, that's what the Jazz want, I think, above all else right now. They're really taking the long-term perspective here. And Danny's doing his thing, man. So, again, yeah, I'd give them a high grade for their offseason just based on the direction that they should be going and that they want to be going.
Yeah, I agree. So, hey, man, let's go to Minnesota. This is a team that you and we both talked about. The Minnesota Timberwolves are getting absolutely killed for the amount of stuff that they gave up, which I understand. I myself think it's a hell of a lot for Rudy Gobert. I'm not sure that I would have done it. But hey, man, Minnesota, they have new ownership. They bring in Tim Connelly, who built the Denver Nuggets, who drafted Nikola Jokic. He did a hell of a job there. I think, you know, we're going to talk about Denver. They're a powerhouse. If they come back healthy, they are one of the favorites to win the title. So he's got a great track record. I'm telling you, Brett, I have no idea how it is going to work in the postseason. I'm probably a little bit more optimistic than most, but I think they are going to be a hell, I'm dominant regular season team. Like, I think this team could easily be a top five seed in the West. I think they're going to win a shit ton of games. They have the offensive firepower. They are basically what the Utah Jazz wanted to be with Rudy Gobert. Karl-Anthony Towns, He signed the Supermax, 4 years, $224 million. He's going to be there for a while. The offensive – Rudy Gobert is going to be the defensive guy. Karl Anthony Towns is going to be the offensive guy. Like, I think it's going to be super fun to watch. I love, love, love teams that buck the trend, that zag when everybody is – or that zig when everyone's zagging. I love it. I love it. I don't know, you know, 4 or 5 years down the road. I disagree with Karl Anthony Towns. I do not think it's championship or bust. This team has made the playoffs, what, 2 times in the last 20 years? I'm excited for them. I think they're going to be really good. I could easily see them going to the Western Conference Finals, not necessarily this year, maybe a year down the line. Maybe some stuff breaks their way. Could I see them winning an NBA title? I don't know. Maybe a lot would have to go, but I think a lot of that depends on Anthony Edwards, who I know you're going to talk about. I mean, dude, his ceiling is what, man? All-NBA player, first team, second team, third team. I mean, yeah. he's going to be really good. I like what they did, man. I think they got a little bit of a question mark with D'Angelo Russell, who's entering the final year of his deal. But, man, dude, give me your thoughts on Minnesota, because I know that you and I were one of the few in the overstated NBA group on Facebook that we were generally more optimistic than most on this trade.
Yeah, I do like it for them. And it's funny because, you know, all the shit I've talked about Gobert over the years, like you might find out in the coming months and years that a lot of that was just the fact that he played for the Jazz, a team I've really never liked. Now that he's out of Utah, I'm kind of rooting for him. I kind of like him. But yeah, it's an interesting fit. Obviously.
Vernon Maxwell diss from Brett Usher. I love it. I love it.
Oh, Vernon, that's a whole nother topic. I won't get into Mad Max, but guy's off his rocker. But it's obviously an interesting fit. You know, it's like, okay, you're pairing up two premier centers, but they're very different players. So it's like, in a way, it makes a lot of sense, right? Like, Cat obviously is a guy that wants to shoot 7-8 threes a game. He's like a perimeter oriented center. Not that he can't play inside or attack off the dribble. Like he can pretty much do it all offensively. But he's a floor spacer, I think, above all else. I mean, I think that's probably the greatest value that he provides offensively, is just being able to shoot it better than just about anybody at 7 feet tall. He's an unbelievably good shooter. So I don't worry too much about like spacing issues with that, because obviously Gobert operates in an entirely different area as basically, you know, a pretty strictly just a pick and roll dive man, just a lob catching, you know, above the rim finishing. That's really all he does. Like you're not even gonna see him take a dribble or make a move or anything. Like he's pretty robotic. He's like programmed, you know. He set screen, roll to the rim, if it's there, catches a lob dunk, does it better than almost anybody ever. So I like, offensively, I think the fit makes a lot of sense. And then defensively, like, look, I mean, Cat has been maligned for his defensive shortcomings for as long as he's been in the league. Like, I think he came into the league as a guy that was seen as having quite a bit of potential defensively, and he just hasn't lived up to it. So that's one of his weaknesses. When we talk about Cat and we talk about his weaknesses, defense, defensive effort, rim protection, all these things, like, you know, yeah, he's 7 feet tall and he's athletic and he's long. So like, he's not, I mean, compared to across the whole NBA landscape, he's not like necessarily a major negative defender. But Gobert is an all-time rim protector. So obviously he fills a lot of those holes. And then also, like, you got to think about what Cat might look like next to Gobert in sort of
a different
defensive role, where he's not asked to be like the primary rim protector. And so I think, in a way, I think Cat could get a lot better defensively. I think Gobert could make him look pretty good. My only concern is just, like, you know, kind of the foot speed defensively, like, where could teams capitalize on that? Like, neither one of those guys can really switch out and defend on the perimeter, can defend guards in space. Like, they're not, I wouldn't, Gobert can move a little bit. I mean, Cat's not unathletic, but I wouldn't consider either of them a switchy big by any means. So, and you know, the fact is that look at their contracts, like, the two of them are going to play a lot. So they're going to have to play a lot together, you know, probably 20 plus 30 minutes a game, maybe even together. And it's just like, what's that going to look like defensively? Can that be exploited? Like, I don't think teams are going to be getting a lot of layups against these guys, but what's it going to look like when teams sort of pull them out to the perimeter, when you have 2 7-footers like that? It works for the Cavs with Mobley and Jared Allen, because Mobley moves like a wing laterally in space. can't say that about Gobert at Towns.
So who do you think would be like let's say that happens? Who in your opinion is the weaker of the two on the perimeter? Because I would argue that Rudy Gobert, I think, you know, has proven that he can hold his own. I think, and you and I have talked about this in depth. To me, where teams screw up with Rudy Gobert, it's offensively. Like, he's got to make whoever is guarding him, he's got to punish that person. And he just, for whatever reason, has not been able to, and maybe that'll change. But do you think it's going to be Karl Anthony Towns that might struggle with that a little bit?
Yeah. I definitely think Gobert is the stronger switch defender between the two. Part of it is just his instincts and his defensive IQ. Like, he's a very smart defensive player. He moves pretty well. And then also just his length, where, like, you know, he can back off maybe a little further than even like Towns, just because he's that much longer. And he's just, you know, he's a little quicker, definitely got better instincts. So I worry less about Gobert. But Gobert's the guy you want protecting the rim. But then again, though, like, if Towns gets switched onto a guard and gets beat, he's got Gobert behind him now.
Exactly, so, Brett. Exactly.
You know, I'm very optimistic about this. I think it can work. And I know we're going to try to move on quickly to some of these other teams, but I will say this. Like, I agree with Kat, actually, that it's championship or bust, because just think about it. Like, next 3 years, they don't win a title. Think about what they gave up to get Gobert. That's a failure. Like, there's no other way to look at it. Like, when you give up that much and say maybe there's like a gray area. Maybe like if they make the finals, you know, you could be like, hey, we made the finals. That's huge. But like, anything short of that in the next few years is a failure. It's almost like the Lakers when they brought in AD, like, and they won that title. And because of that,
Disney title.
People don't say, I still don't like the trade. Like, I don't know that it was worth that one title, because they really sacrificed their future. But most people will say it was worth it because they won that title. And if they hadn't won that title, that trade is a pretty much an objective failure. So I think the Wolves are in a similar situation. And it just feels crazy to say, because we're talking about the Minnesota Timberwolves here, like one of the worst franchises in the NBA over the last
Since their inception, they
entered the
league in 1989.
Maybe the worst overall, if you look at the entire body of work or lack thereof. But yeah, man, like, I do agree with Kat. Like, it's championship or bust. Maybe not this season, but in the next couple years. And I think, you know, the Wolves went all in on this, and I respect them for that. I really do. This was an all-in move. This was a, hey, we've got Karl Anthony Towns and Anthony Edwards right now. In today's NBA, who knows how long we're going to have both of these guys. One of them could demand a trade. Like, it's not like the old days where we know these two are going to be together for the next 5-10 years. Like, it is not like that anymore. And it's like, we've got these two superstars right now. Let's bring in another big piece and swing for the fucking fences. And that's what they're doing. And if it fails, I won't even blame them. It's like, hey, you tried. And like, that's all you can do, because where was this team going to go if you don't make this trade? Would they have been that much better than last season? What'd you say? They won 46 games. Maybe they win like 49. Anthony Edwards takes a jump. I think he will. I think he's probably going to be the best two guard in basketball next year. That's my outlook on him.
But like,
yeah, I do. I think he's got a great chance. I think we could look back at the end of the season and say, hey, you know, he's surpassed Devin Booker, Brad Beal. Like, who else would be in that conversation, really? But I think he really could be that good in his year three. But even with that said, it's like, what was this team without this trade? Like, a five seed, maybe?
See,
and hey, maybe they'll still be a five seed even with the trade, but I think their ceiling, if it works out as well as it possibly can, you've got a generational rim protector, you've got the greatest shooting center in NBA history, and you've got potentially the best two guard in basketball next year, not to mention auxiliary guys, not to mention Jaden McDaniels, who could take a big leap, I think will. D'Angelo Russell, still there. Like, they brought in Kyle Anderson, like, in free agency. I really like that a lot. They brought in Austin Rivers, who can fill a lot of the Pat Beverly holes, like a lot of what Pat Bev did for them. I think Austin Rivers can kind of be that sort of dog type of player. So all in all, man, like I think they're going for it. I think they're like, hey,
you forgot to add that they have NBA champion Bryn Forbes on their team too.
NBA champion Bryn Forbes, they signed him too. That's absolutely crazy. You know what? It's funny. I had that in my notes, and I even had NBA champion spelled out because that was a little callback to you. But
I love it, baby.
You beat me to it. But hey, man, I like what they're doing. They're all in, and I agree with Kat. Championship or bust.
Well, here's why I disagree with you, and I disagree with Kat. It's you mentioned it when you were talking about it. You're the Minnesota fucking Timberwolves, and we say this all the time. I would rather teams have a plan and try to get better, and I think the Minnesota Timberwolves are better today. I don't buy this talk. You know, I've heard people say, well, you have Anthony Edwards. You know, you basically have him from until the 2024-2025 season where you can get the qualifying offer, you can extend him. So you have him, and people are like, well, just build through the draft, just build through the draft. Man, I'm with you. I think what was their ceiling? So let's say Anthony Edwards, they don't make this trade. Anthony Edwards, like, let's just say best case scenario is what you said. He's the best two guard in basketball. I mean, yeah. they the sixth seed maybe?
Right.
That's it? Like, what?
I don't know, maybe even the four or five, but like, not a championship team.
You tell me, dude, who in the fuck are you getting that's going to be a game changer for you like Rudy Gobert is when right. you're picking 24th, 25th every year? Believe me, man, you ain't going to find much. You're just not, and you're the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Who could they have gotten? Like, you make a great point, and that's one of the reasons I, as much as I've had my gripes about Gobert, who else was out there? So like,
he solves everything that they need. He
makes a lot of sense.
Let's preface this first. At least in the regular season, he solves.
But now the thing with Utah is they never had another center where, like, if it was just a five out team, like the Wolves have Cat, and I'm not saying Cat's like, you know, the super versatile, super switchable center, but it's like, you've got two all NBA centers now. So like, you know, if you need to go small,
Brett, one of them is going to be on the floor at all times.
Right. That's a nightmare for opponents. And it's like, if you need to go small, you can pull Gobert. And then you've just got Cat, Jaden McDaniels, Kyle Anderson, you know what I mean? D'Angelo Ant. Like, it's different. It's like, this is not going to be the same Gobert we saw in Utah, because so much of who he was in Utah was determined by the surrounding players and their roster. And it's like, now he's on a completely different roster. Completely. He's playing next to the ultimate stretch big, you know, an all NBA caliber center, an elite center, arguably like a top 10, 15 player. Like, it's just a completely different situation. So like, that Gobert that we all griped about in Utah, like, we're about to see that wasn't all him. And I'm optimistic about what he's going to look like in this new situation. I'm excited, man. I like it. It's a high risk, high reward move. Like, this could definitely backfire, make no mistake. But I respect the fuck out of them for going all in.
Minnesota fucking Timberwolves. You've had two playoff appearances in the last 20 years. I think, what's the furthest they got with Kevin Garnett? Remember, Kevin Garnett could not get out of the first round for a long time. Have they? Yeah, they've won one.
They made it to the conference finals. I think they lost to the Lakers with KG and 04.
In their history, they've won one first round series. One.
Yeah.
Like, come on, man. You're and who's to say? Let's just say, and here's the thing that I keep going back to, and you hear it on different podcasts, you hear it all like on social media. Who's going to be the next disgruntled star? Who's going to be the next disgruntled star? What if it is Anthony Edwards? What if Anthony Edwards, they don't make this trade, and he's looking around and be like, I'm done. Karl-Anthony Towns, I'm done. Then you're really fucked.
It's like, not like he's in Miami or LA. Like, this is Anthony Edwards is in Minnesota.
Let's just add this before we put a bow on this. Rudy Gobert wants to be there. He is excited to be there. He wants to be there. Like, I'm with you. I'm cautiously optimistic. It's a lot to give up. A lot to give up. Rudy Gobert certainly is not worth that much. But, dude, when you're the Minnesota Timberwolves, what else are you going to do?
What are we going to worry about the 2027, 2029 draft picks? Like, why are we worried about that? Like, we've got Kat and Anthony Edwards. Why not just go for it? Like, there's a window right now. Like, there's no – like, yeah, the Warriors are the defending champs, but they're not the Warriors from, like, 16, 17, 18, where everyone's like, we can't compete with this team. Like, the NBA is not like that right now. There is no unbeatable team. The Bucks, the Celtics, the Warriors, the Suns. Like, there's some really good squads. But there's not that juggernaut where it's like it's not even worth trying to build. I think there's a window for teams like the Wolves that are a playoff team, established that last year, have two superstars, bring in another star. Hey, let's see what happens. I respect them for going for it, man. That's all I can say. I don't have a bad thing to say about it.
And you know what? Let's take it a step further. We'll put a bow on this after this. We'll go on to Denver. Dude, you look at Kevin Garnett. You look at Kevin Love. I would argue that whoever you want to say is the Timberwolves' best player, if you want to say Anthony Edwards or Karl Anthony Towns, they already have in Anthony Edwards, he's going into his third year, they have a better roster around them than Kevin Garnett ever did except for 1 year when they went to the Western Conference Finals when they had to bring in Sam Cassell. And they certainly have a better roster than anything that Kevin Love had. Let's just chill a little bit with that. I'm with you.
I think this might be the best roster in Timberwolves history. And we'll how it fits, but I might take this over like the Sprewell, Sam Cassell, Garnett team. Like just in terms of on paper roster, I'm not saying they'll make the Western Conference Finals or they'll win, 55 games or something, but like they could. But I think just on paper, I think this is probably the best. When you look at, the best defensive center of a generation, Cat, Ant, D'Lo, McDaniels, et cetera, they've got a fucking squad, man. So, hey, let's see what happens. But I will never get mad at a team for going for it. I don't like the whole, unless you have nothing to start with, then, if you're like the Jazz now, or like you're like OKC has been the last couple of years, like, okay, we're looking long term. But if you've already got a couple of superstars, like, don't worry about those 2029 draft picks, man. Don't worry about that. Cat ain't worried about them. Anthony Edwards doesn't give a fuck about your 2028 first rounder.
And let's just say hypothetically, maybe they're doing all right. Like you could offload an expiring D'Angelo Russell if you want. Like you've got options. So
it's a possibility. It's a possibility. Yeah, they didn't come to an agreement on an extension. Not surprisingly, I think they would like to bring him back next season at a discount. I don't know if what that would look like and if he'd be willing to take that. But they need him right now, I think, for the time being. I think especially with Gobert there as kind of a guy who can throw up lobs, I think D'Lo is going to be pretty valuable for them this season.
They'll probably just
go from there. Let's see how it works with Gobert and see how you play. And, we'll pay you next summer if we think you're worth it.
Yeah, I definitely don't think he's 31, maybe worth 30.
No. It would be a big discount. It would be maybe 20. I don't know.
All right, man, let's go to the Denver Nuggets. They had a very interesting offseason. You and I debated the MVP, but hey, Jokic is he's a deserving guy, man. They won back-to-back MVPs. He's really fucking good. Like, let's be honest, he's a top five player in the NBA. They made a sneaky good move. They traded Will Barton and Monte Morris to Washington for KCP. They immediately gave him a two-year extension, and Mike Malone said during summer league that he's going to be penciled in as a starter. There's no competition. So their starting lineup is basically set. They signed a guy that I wanted my team to get, Bruce Brown. And I mean, let's be honest, Brett, this team, they are a NBA Finals contender if Jamal Murray, and to me, I think the most intriguing person in the NBA this season, Michael Porter Jr. He hasn't played last year. He is making a bunch of money. They signed him to an early contract extension, which I think was the right move. And, I just want you, before we get into this, the year prior with Michael Porter Jr., he averaged 19 points a game, and he shot a blistering 44% from three. He averaged 7 boards a game. I mean, to me, he is outside. Obviously, Nikola Jokic is their best player. If he gets hurt, Denver's chances to win a title are gone anyways. So he's obviously their best player. But I would say that their most important player coming into this season is Michael Porter Jr. This team has title aspirations. They just have to stay healthy. Brett, what do you think of the Denver Nuggets offseason?
It's definitely grown on me. The more I think about it, just doing like a little mini prep before this pod, actually just kind of looking over the moves and stuff and kind of the roster and the depth chart. It's like, okay, this is starting to make sense because at first glance, the trade with the Wizards where they traded Will Barton and Monty Morris for Kentavious Caldwell-Pope and Ish Smith, like it kind of felt like a lateral move or just like, kind of trading two similar guys for two similar guys. But KCP gives them a big upgrade in terms of both perimeter defense and perimeter shooting over Will Barton. And those are super important things for this team, especially the defense. Like that's been the thing with this team. Like they're just not great defensively. Like, they're a team that's anchored by a center who is, I don't know if you want to call him average at best defensively. Like, that's fine. I'm not going to shit on Jokic's defense. I've done that enough. But, like, they're not a good, you know, MPJ. Like, you look down the roster over the last few years, especially when Murray's been out, they're a below average defensive team, certainly last season. So you bring in KCP, very good perimeter defender, also a very good shooter. Now, losing Will Barton, I like KCP better than Barton for this Nuggets team. Losing Monty Morris on paper kind of is like, whoa, like, he's maybe the best backup point guard in the NBA. What that signals to me is that they really believe in Bones Highland. I think Bones is going to be their clear-cut sixth man, backup point guard, is going to have a big role for them next season. So I think being willing to give up Monty Morris in that deal sort of signals their belief in Bones Highland. And I'm right there with them. Like, I think he showed enough as a rookie where it's like, okay, this guy's, you know, probably going to be better than Monty Morris long-term. And then, yeah, man, like, MPJ, his last healthy year, it was one of the most efficient shooting scoring seasons we've ever seen from a wing, period. Like, there's very few, if any, players that have had like a more efficient season, depending on how you look at it, in terms of shooting and scoring. So getting him and Murray back right from the jump is going to be huge for this team. I agree with you. I think they immediately become a title contender, certainly a team with a great shot to make the finals. They inked Jokic to the biggest contract in NBA history, I believe, with his Supermax extension. Five years, 270, something insane like that. Oh, and rightfully so. I mean, that was one of those ones you can't, you know, pull the trigger on quick enough. Like, of course he did. He's fucking Jokic. And then the Bruce Brown thing, man, I'm with you. Like, I like that a lot for them. And again, this ties back into it. Like, this is, they're addressing their needs. Defense. This is what Bruce Brown does. Defense, some interesting sort of potential, like, playmaking out of the short roll, a little bit of shooting, just a good all-around player, good high-character guy. They got him for 2 years, $13 million. I think that's an absolute bargain. The only thing I really don't like that they did was bring in DeAndre Jordan as a backup center. They've sort of had this rotating cast of backup centers over the last few years, whether it's like Plumlee or Cousins, and, you know, now they bring in DeAndre Jordan. Like, I don't know how that guy's still in the league. They always say he must be like the best teammate or like the best locker room guy, or just like, people must love him because it's not his game that's getting him contracts. He's trash and washed, and I don't like that, but that's not a huge deal. I think more often than not, they'll probably just go small. I don't think he's going to play a ton for them. They drafted Christian Brown at 21 out of Kansas. They got Peyton Watson in a trade from OKC. Solid enough draft, I guess. But yeah, I think the big storyline, like you sort of alluded to, is getting Jamal Murray and Michael Porter Jr. back. I think they got a pretty nice little upgrade with Kentavious Caldwell-Pope and Bruce Brown defensively. So yeah, I would pencil them in as like, I haven't thought about it. We haven't gotten to these podcasts yet, but probably like a top four team in the West. I'd be surprised if they weren't there, assuming health throughout. So solid offseason. Maybe not the most exciting, but if you're a Nuggets fan, I think you have to be excited about next season.
I'm with you, dude. Denver is, I mean, it's to me, this team is championship or bust. You know, we've Jokic's back-to-back MVPs, the injury to Jamal Murray sucked. He should be back. I'm going to guess he's going to be really back at full strength sometime in the second half of the season. And dude, to me, Jamal Murray could be healthy. Aaron Gordon could be healthy. Nikola Jokic could be healthy. But if Michael Porter Jr. is not healthy, I do not see this team winning a title. If he is healthy and he comes back in and this team is ready to take off, man, I'll even take it a step further than you. I think this team will be the number one seed in the West. I think they're just loaded. I think they're ready, but it's going to come down to health for them.
As a fellow Giannis fan, like, if they're the number one seed in the West, it means the big fella's probably getting a third MVP.
I don't think so.
Bro, if they're the number one seed in the West and he puts up his typical numbers and he got an MVP as the sixth seed, they have to give it to him as a number one. Think about it, though. If he's just as good as he was this season, this past season, and they're the number one seed in the West, and he has just as good of a season, how do you not give him the third straight MVP?
You can't. If he wants to win, I can't believe we're talking about this. If he wants to be the first and only back-to-back-to-back MVP in NBA history. He has to put up better numbers than he did. He can't – no voter is going to give him
– They love
an
him.
MVP. I know – well, Zach Lowe fucking loves it. I swear to God.
They all do. Lowe, they all do.
Yeah. I don't want to say what I want to say because it's a podcast. But he has to put up better numbers. If he puts up the exact same numbers and they're the one seed, the voters are going to know, dude. We know. It's because Jamal Murray is back and Michael Porter Jr. are back. That's why.
Well, he might average 10 assists if he has Jamal and MPJ. I don't know. He might put up better numbers with those guys. Because think about the numbers he put up without them. And like now, like his percentages are – he's going to be more efficient. He's going to get easier looks. He's going to get more assists. Like he might actually put up better numbers. And if they are like the one or two seed, which certainly isn't out of the realm of possibilities – that would – I'm just saying that would be wild. I don't mean to get ahead of ourselves. Like, I don't think he should have won it this past season, but, like, he might actually be very well deserving of it next season. We'll see. But I think we both are in agreement that this could be a very dangerous team next season, assuming they're healthy.
It can be. And like I said, I mean, we're not going to spend too much time on them because their offseason was – I think it was a solid offseason for a contending team that is just – they just need to stay healthy. But let's go to the first – of your favorite teams in this division, the Portland Trailblazers. They have had Brett Usher, I would say, a very odd and interesting last year. Obviously, Damian Lillard missed the entire season. I think he's going to come back and have a really, really good season. I think there's going to be a lot of fuck you in him, which I like and I respect. You know, he's one of the better players in the NBA. They signed Gary Payton II. They signed Anthony Simons at a 4-year, $100 million deal. They selected Sharp with the 7th pick from Kentucky. They re-signed Nurkic to a 4-year, $70 million deal. Yeah, man. I mean, I don't know what to make of this team. I'm not really sure what they're doing. It kind of looked like, you know, did Dame ask for a trade? Did he not ask for a trade? Obviously, Dame is coming back. They traded CJ McCollum. I don't know, man. I know for a fact that you're going to be optimistic about this team, but I'm just curious to get your thoughts on it because I have no idea what to make of the Portland Trailblazers. None.
I feel like they did everything they needed to do this offseason. Like I think it's been, I would easily say, a top five offseason in the NBA. Like no question about that. Anthony Simons at 4 years, 100 is going to look like a bargain in a couple years.
I agree with that.
I think bringing Nurk back at 4 years, 70 is great. Just the right move. I think that's an awesome value. He wants to be there. They want to have him. That was just one of those mute. Like we all knew that was going to happen somewhere in that ballpark. I think GP2 for 3 years, $28 million is a steal. Like we saw how valuable that guy is for the Warriors. I know Warriors fans are furious that he is on another team, another Western Conference team. So like $9 million a year for that guy, man. Like that is good value. He's going to be huge. And then, yeah, they extended Dame through 26, 27. I think he's going to be making like $63 million in the last year of that deal, which is wild, but it was the right thing you do. You lock Dame up long term. He's your guy. They also got Jeremy Grant. They used that Bucks pick. That the fact that all they had to give up was some rights to some draft pick. I think it was Proceda. And then one first round pick, which is from the Bucks, probably a late first round pick, right? It's a 2025. So it's probably like, you know, I don't know, 22nd pick, 28th pick, depending on the Bucks are going to be good. Like Giannis is going to be there. They're going to be good. That's not a great first round pick. So to only give that up along with 2 seconds and some second round draft pick for Jeremy Grant, I thought that was a great deal for them. And he fills a hole that they've had for a long time as just like a, like, I think he's going to be a better version of what Robert Covington was for them. And then, yeah, we can just go down the list. Like, the Shaedon Sharpe pick, I liked a lot. He was probably my second choice for them there. Like, I like Tari Eason for the record. Like, I've said as much a couple times, but that wasn't going to happen. Everybody just kind of had him in the mid-first round. So I like the upside swing with Shaedon. He's not going to play much this season at all, probably. He'll probably be in the G League a lot, maybe a few minutes a game. Maybe he cracks the rotation if there's some injuries, but I'm not expecting too much from him in the short term, but I think long term he could be big time. So I like that. And then, you know, you look at last season, like they traded Norm Powell, they traded away Rocco, they traded away CJ McCollum. Like they really have reshaped this team. But with all that they've given up, if you look at the roster now, like they've got a squad, man. They've got a great starting five. They've got some pretty interesting depth. And like, yeah, you're going to be starting Damian Lillard and Anthony Simons at the guards. And it's like, you look at that and it's like, okay, that's weak defensively, right? But behind them, you've got Gary Payton II and you've got Keon Johnson, who they got back from the Clippers in the Powell trade, who could be like a Gary Payton Jr. level defender eventually. Like he's kind of a beast. So you've got these two defensive menaces sort of behind those two kind of weaker defensive or more just kind of offensive minded guards. So I think that's kind of an interesting balance there. I still think they could use more depth, but I mean, I think they're right where they want to be. They've still got guys like Nasir Little, Trendon Watford, Brandon Williams, even Greg Brown, like these guys that kind of emerged last season. Like you said at the jump, like the fact that they only won like three more games than the Thunder last season is just wild. But they kind of shut everybody down. They missed most of the season, all that. So it kind of gave these guys like Little, Watford, Williams, Greg Brown, kind of like a chance to emerge. And so I think you look at it now, and I wouldn't say it's a shallow team. They got Josh Hart in the CJ McCollum trade. Like he's going to be probably their starting small forward. So I think you're probably looking at like Damian Lillard, Anthony Simons, Josh Hart, Jeremy Grant, Nurkic. That's a damn good starting five. I think this is a playoff team. I think they've positioned themselves. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I think they've positioned themselves really nicely going forward. And I agree with you that Dame is going to have a big, big bounce back season. Like this abdominal injury has been plaguing him for a few years. I think he's going to play at like an MVP level. Will the Blazers be good enough where he's considered for MVP? I'm not quite sure about that. But I think if he's, you know, can just stay healthy, like I think he's going to have a monster season. He's still only 32. So I'm very optimistic about this team.
I really
like the offseason. Like I wouldn't have done it much differently. Like I wasn't, because the Jeremy Grant talk had been around for a while. I wasn't super like gung ho about getting Jeremy Grant, but when you can get him for a late first and 2 seconds, come on. And I love the Anthony Simons thing. I love extending Dame. I love bringing Nurk back, all that stuff, man. So I don't know. I'd give it like maybe not an A+, but I'd probably give their offseason like an A-. I think they're doing what they need to do. And you said you're not quite sure of the direction of the team. Like, I think they're trying to win. I think they're like, fuck it. I think we've got a squad. Let's see what we can do. Maybe we start the season 18-6 and we're like, okay, let's push for this thing. Maybe it doesn't work out. And then you can sort of go in a different direction. And if you do have to, if you do end up moving on from Dame or kind of going into a rebuild at some point, you kind of have the young guys and the assets to move in that direction. I think they've got a lot of flexibility right now. I'll put it that way.
So, all right. I listened to everything you said.
So, sorry for the long-windedness. You know those are
no,
my
no,
guys.
No, no, no. You're fine. No, don't apologize for that. You're fine. Here's why I say I have no idea what they're doing and I have no idea what to think of them. I know how good Dame is. I know he's coming off an injury, and like I said, I think he's going to have a lot of fuck you and he's going to skull fuck a lot of the NBA this year. However, here's my concern with them, okay? Here's who were the top 8 teams in the NBA last season that made the playoffs, okay? Phoenix, Memphis, Golden State, Dallas, Utah, Denver, Minnesota, New Orleans.
So I don't like this argument. I never like this argument.
Well, I'm just saying.
I'll tell you why, but keep going.
Hang on. The Clippers were 9th and the Spurs were 10th. So Phoenix is going to be there. I think that playoff loss that they had is going to hurt them. Golden State's going to be there. Memphis is going to be there. Dallas is going to be worse, I think. Utah, they're not even going to make the playoffs. Denver is going to be better. Minnesota is going to be better. A sneaky team that I really like, the Pelicans, are going to be better. If the Clippers stay healthy, they're in the playoffs. They're going to be a top 5 team. I am not exactly sure. So is the ceiling for Portland like a play-in team? Like I'm not saying like, you know, they should have tore it down. Like I said, I'm very undecided on their offseason. I really am, because I don't know. Like I don't think they're going to be a top 6 seed in the West. Like bottom line, if I'm running the Portland Trailblazers and Damian Lillard wants to be there, I'm in. I guess to your point, yeah. If Damian Lillard tells me I don't want to be traded, I want to be here, let's build this team, let's work together to build it, and they do it in partnership with Dame, then yeah, man, there's nothing you can do. And I know Mikey Byer is probably cursing my name as he listens to this, but yeah, man, if you're a Portland fan and you want to see Dame in a Portland uniform for the rest of his career, you should be happy, and this is probably the best offseason that you could have had.
Yeah, I mean,
under the circumstances,
projecting teams, it really is a crapshoot a lot of the time. And like, I think the Blazers have enough talent, enough kind of on paper chemistry, like enough. Hey, Anfernee Simons could be like a superstar in maybe even next year.
You do not think he's going to be a super. Stop that. Stop.
Why don't we look at his numbers ever since Dame went down last season? Between when Dame went down,
he averaged 30 minutes a game, 17 points a game, 40%.
That's not his whole. But no, look at it from when he became the starting point guard. It's like, you know, I don't know. It's like 22-6 or something. Like he was phenomenal. And he's like 22 years old, maybe just turned 23.
Superstar, but I'm just saying, though, like maybe not a superstar.
I don't know. I wouldn't rule it out, man. Maybe not this season, but it's coming, man. He's big time. But like, I'm just saying, they have enough good players and enough like, hey, like what if Simons hits? What if, you know what I mean? What if Dame comes back to like MVP form? Like, I think they have enough right now where they're like, let's take a shot. But the reason I don't like that listing off, hey, this team's going to be in the playoffs. Where are the Blazers going to fit in? These are
projections, though, based on, like I said,
I know,
like,
but
the Clippers aren't healthy. They're not making. They're right. Going to be the same season for the.
Like, but my projection is that probably two of those teams you listed are going to be hit horribly with injuries. Like, I don't know. We have no idea who, but it's like not all those teams are going to be as good as we project. And it's like, okay, maybe that could happen to the Blazers too, but like. Somebody, the Jazz are falling off, obviously, and then at least one of those other teams you mentioned is just going to be nowhere near as good as we expect them to be.
I said Dallas. I predicted Dallas.
It could be Dallas. We'll get
to them on the next pod or in the next coming weeks.
Right, right. So that's all I'm saying is like when people are like, okay, this team, which team is falling off? Which team isn't making the playoffs? I'm like, I don't know, but one of them, right? And so that's where I think the Blazers can come in. And you know, it's when I say a team's a playoff team nowadays, it means they could either be like the 6th seed, 5th seed maybe, I don't know.
Or they could be the 10th seed.
Or they could be the 10 and win their play-in and get in. And that's what I'm saying. It's like I think the Blazers will either be like the 5 or 6th seed, or they'll be a play-in team and they'll win their play-in because they've got Damian motherfucking Lillard. So when I project them as a playoff team, that's kind of how – I look at it, not that they're like going to be better than the Clippers and the Nuggets and all that necessarily, but one of those teams is going to get hit hard with some unforeseen shit. And it goes that way every year. And so I can't tell you which team it's going to be, but I know it's going to be one of them. And I think the Blazers have a window, assuming everything breaks right with their chemistry and health and all that, all the things every team's dealing with, but they've got enough to go for it. And I'm glad they're going for it and they're retooling rather than rebuilding right now.
Yeah, they'll be okay. I'm excited to talk about them when we kind of do our over-unders later on, you know, kind of right before the season starts. But, man, let's go to your second favorite team in this division, the team that I like to call the Hinkie Juniors, the OKC Thunder, who have – sorry, that's my dog. Bunker, stop. Who have a bajillion draft picks. I think the best offseason move that they made was hiring Chip England from San Antonio, who was there forever, and now he's
going to be the coach
there. I really like that. I think OKC is one of the most interesting team in the NBA, one of the most interesting teams in the NBA. I mean, SGA, Josh Giddey, Chet, who, I mean, dude, I think he's got the biggest ceiling in this year's NBA draft. I mean, he oozes boomer bust potential. I think he's going to be more so on the boom side. They got Lu Dort that they signed to a 5-year, $87 million extension. I think OKC is going to be a fun team that's not going to win a lot of games. I'm concerned with SGA. You know that I've talked about it on this pod before. I love that dude. And, you know, the last two seasons, OKC just shuts him down because they want a better draft pick. I hope, like, you know, he's able to play every game this year. And, yeah, he just starts this year his 5-year extension. So he's there for a long time. We'll see how long he's there. You know, kind of who knows what's going on. Who knows what OKC is doing. But, I mean, I think this is a pretty great offseason for OKC, all things considering where they are. I think that, like I said earlier, I think they hit on the guy with the highest ceiling in this year's draft. If Chet can fill out and he's, you know, he's got the skill set, I think he's got potential to be really, really good and the best player in this draft. And we'll see what happens. Brett, give me your thoughts on your second favorite team in this division.
Yeah, I love these guys, man. And first of all, like, yeah, I'm glad you brought up the Chip England thing. Like, just having a shooting coach, like, arguably the greatest shooting coach in NBA history. Certainly the most well-renowned. I don't know, Fred Vincent might beg to differ there in New Orleans. But, I mean, to get Chip England, it's like, what does Darius Baisley with a jump shot look like?
Oh,
No, but for real though, that is a big thing, and I'm glad you brought it up, because you look at guys like Baisley, like Giddey, maybe even like Usman Zhang, like guys that are like, hey, if this guy could become a good shooter, that's a whole nother level. So I'm glad you brought that up, because that's, you know, we think about just mostly like roster moves and players and shit when we talk about the offseason, but to bring in a guy like that, that's big time, and it shows that this team is serious, man. But yeah, like Chet was my number one guy, like clear cut. Like I had him in a tier by himself, no brainer number one for me in that draft. So for them to get him at two, in my opinion, is enormous. I only saw one of his games at Summer League, in person, but it wasn't even like his best game, but you see it. He's very, very special. I couldn't be more excited to see Chet in the NBA, and I'm glad he's on one of my favorite teams. And then, yeah, to get Usman Zhang in a trade from the Knicks, I think they gave up three protected first-round picks, but it was really just the guys they got last draft trading away the 16th pick, which became Alperen Şengün. So it's like, it's good value. It's good value. And then Jalen Williams at 12 is a guy that really impressed me at Summer League, like maybe more than almost anybody. Just like, I knew he could shoot, but just his athleticism, his length, his finishing ability, his kind of just overall feel for the game. I think he's going to be really nice at 12. So, you know, they had a great draft. Okay. They also got they got another Jalen Williams at 34, the kid from Arkansas. I'm not as sold on him, but anyway, to get Chet and Jalen Williams from Santa Clara in the same draft, like they killed it, and without giving up a ton. And then the only thing is, like, the Dort contract feels like a lot.
I like it, man.
I'm not mad at it.
You got to reach the salary cap for it. Like, he's
right
good for them. And you look at it also, like we were talking about with some of the other teams. You can trade him in a year or two. I think it's fine. I have no issue with it. And, dude, he's another one who we just talked about at the top, man. Maybe he benefits from Chip England. Maybe he can get up to a 35% three-point shooter. I think he shot, what, 32 last
year?
Like, maybe he can get up there. Maybe he helps him. So I just, you know,
yep.
I think it's a good, it's a solid investment, and you can always flip him. Like, what a contending team would love to have Lu Dort on their team.
It's, and the thing is, like, that the $87.5 million, like, just in itself, like, sounds crazy, but it is over 5 years. So, like, what's that? Like, 17 per year?
Yeah.
It's like 17.5 per year. Like, that's not bad. That's like Evan Fournier money. You know what I mean? Like, that's a pretty tradable contract, and actually a pretty decent value for a guy who's probably, like, I mean, he's an all-defensive caliber defender. And like you said, man, if he could get a – he's not a bad shooter. Like, he's further along than, like, Giddey and Baisley. And it's like, if he could get up to like a 38-40% three-point shooter with his finishing and driving ability, then he becomes really good on offense. Like, that's, it's kind of like a scary number, I guess, but that is a contract that could actually end up being an extremely good value. The thing about Dort is he's a lot younger than people realize. I don't have it in front of me, but I believe he's only 22. Like, he seems older because just his build and his, like, the way he plays, but he's super young. He's like Baisley's age.
He's 21 or 22. Yeah, I think you were right.
Yeah, he's young. He's super young.
I can't even find it looking it up. Dude, that is very strange.
He's super young, man. Like, so I don't know. That could actually end up being a good value. So I'm with you, man. Like, I actually like that. At first, I was like, whoa. But then it was like, like you said, they've got to meet the floor. And hey, 17.5 a year for Lu Dort, I just think is not a bad value at all.
23. Sorry, Brett. I found it. He's 20.
He's young. Yeah. Very young. And he's got a lot of room for growth as a player still. And I mean, the bottom line is he's an elite, 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 like Marcus Smart, Drew Hall. You put him in that conversation. He's that good defensively. He's just been on a bad team, so maybe it doesn't quite get the universal recognition that it deserves, but he can really lock a motherfucker down. Ask James Harden, ask LeBron. So, hey man, like, we didn't expect them to sign any big free agents or, like, you know, burn any of their assets really. Like, they had a great draft. They locked up Dort. And I think they've got a pretty interesting team. Like, I think they're a team that could actually start to really move in the right direction next season in terms of winning some games. Like, when you look at that, even just the starting five is what's going to be: SGA, Giddy, Dort, Baisley, Chet. And then you've got like Trey Mann, Jalen Williams, like Robinson Earl. Like, you've got some pretty Poku, maybe even if he hits, like, you've got some pretty interesting players, man. Like, you're not, you're probably better than the Jazz, right? You're like, you might be all right. You might start winning some games next year. I don't see this as like a tank. I just don't, because at some point, what are you going to do? You're okay. You tank again, like on purpose.
I know, man. I think, you know, I mentioned earlier,
at some point you got to start winning.
Exactly. And I would like to see them add a little bit more. I want to see them add some veterans, you know, just to help out with these young
guys. Hey, you name your player, they could do it. Like, they have the assets to get whoever they want, probably.
I just don't want to see them become what Philly was. And I don't care what anybody says. I will say it. You know, Ben Simmons, he's got his issues with Joel Embiid. They were put in a terrible situation with Sam Hinkie. I mean, they had no veteran leadership on that team, and they were just developed a losing mentality for both of those guys.
OKC's got a better culture. I really believe that.
I agree with that. They're in a different market as well. But I just would like to see them. And I'm with you, man. Like, I want to see SGA. I want to see him playing in the playoffs again. I mean, I guess on one hand, we can look at it right as, hey, man, 2 years ago, this team was – I mean, did they beat – I can't remember, man. Everything feels like it's jumbled up.
I think they lost to the Rockets in the playoffs, but they were in the playoffs.
It was very close. You know, SGA got some real playoff experience. Like, let's see them go, man. I just mentioned I have no idea how the fit would be. I simply mentioned Donovan Mitchell would be good for OKC just because, I want to see them go. Like, let's go. I love watching Josh Giddey. I love watching SGA. I like Lu Dort. I'm excited to see what Chet does for this team. Like, I want to see them start winning some games here and at least being competitive. I think we know they're going to be super fun, but, like, let's go, because I think you're going to have some serious issues, you know, going forward with that team. If you legitimately, if you're winning 20 games, 15, 20 games again this year, and, you know, you decide to sit SGA again, like, I do not agree with that at all. You have a,
this is a team I'm taking the over on. I don't think they're going to do that again. Like, and maybe, you know, even if they just stand pat, like, don't make any trades. And it's like this team that, you know, sort of rotation I just ran down. Like, I'm taking the over. Like, I think this is a team that's like, I don't know, maybe 30 something wins. And like, I think they're going to be like a top 10 defense with Chet there now. They were not far off that last season. Certainly were there at stretches, but I think I'm really high on Chet. Like, I'm a huge, huge, huge Chet believer. So I think between him and SGA, they have like two like borderline superstars. I'm not saying Chet's going to be that as a rookie, but like, and you know, obviously I'm higher on Baisley than anybody. And like, I love Trey Mann. I'm probably higher than him on just about anybody. Like, I really like their pieces, man. And like, yeah, maybe they're a year or two away from like being a contender for a playoff spot as constructed. And they will make a move. They will bring in more talent via trade because they've got so many picks and so many young players. Even like Dort, like maybe that's just a contract at 17, 18 a year that could make it work if you're bringing in a higher profile player. I think they've got all the flexibility in the world, an incredibly deep treasure chest full of assets, and a couple of potential superstars for sure. And who knows about Giddey? Like, what if he learns how to shoot? I consider him a top 10 passer in the whole NBA as a 6'8 point guard.
I love him.
One of the best.
I love him.
He's great. He's awesome. And like, if that shot ever comes together, he could end up being their most valuable player. Like, who knows? So I'm super excited about this team. I don't see them shutting guys down again this year. I don't think they're that worried about, we need to get a top five pick, because it's like, whose spot is he going to take now? Now you've got Chet. Are you going to draft Wembanyama? It would be awesome. Like, I guess, like, it would be crazy to see. Or it's like, are you going to draft Scoot Henderson? Is he going to take Giddey's spot or Shea's? No, it's like, you've already got guys there. At this point, I think it's more valuable for them to start winning some games, keep building that culture, work with what you've got, and draft smart with the picks that you do have, and eventually package some of that shit together and bring in maybe one more, you know, star caliber player. But I love where they're sitting. Offseason went as well as I could have hoped. Oklahoma-gren, I think I was the first one ever to say that. I'm very happy that they got my guy Chet. I'm very happy he landed with that team.
Yeah, I agree, man. I just hope – I'm hoping for them. I'm rooting for them. I really am. I want to see them do good, man. But
they're league pass. They're league pass darlings, man. 100%. Yeah.
But that's going to do it for us with the NBA stuff. But, I mean, we should – we'd be remiss if we didn't talk about this Vegas story. So I'll give a quick background on how this podcast started. For those of you that don't know, it was during COVID. I listened to a Ryan Russillo podcast who said, like, man, if you're going to do it, just do it. I reached out to you and Jacob, and we did it. And it's been a lot of fun. But, you know, this is the second year now that we have planned a overstated Vegas trip. And I think this year there was at least 20 of us that were down there. And
yeah, it was like 22, 23. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
And Brett and I have done this podcast. This is going on, I want to say, about 3 years now. And
2.5. Yeah.
Yeah. And we have never met in person. As we said, Brett was originally living in San Diego when we started this, and then he moved to Hawaii. So this Vegas trip was going to be like, you know, the time that that him and I first met. And again, we did a podcast for 3 years, so we kind of know each other, but we have never met face to face. So we kind of had this planned out. And right before this, our friend Derek came, and him and Joanna and I flew down together from Milwaukee. Derek's from Boston. He flew into Milwaukee. And Derek was telling me that, you know, we do these Zooms throughout the year where we watch basketball and we just talk and a bunch of people come on, that it was just you and him on. And you were like, man, I got a bad feeling. Like, Steve and I aren't going to meet. And he told me this, and I could tell you exactly what I told him. Like, his brother, I said, like, of course we're going to meet. Like, why wouldn't we meet? So I was only there for 48 hours. I flew in on a Thursday and I left on Saturday, early Saturday morning. So Brett flew in very late Thursday night, so we knew Thursday we weren't going to meet. So Friday was when we were going to meet. And we had originally planned that we were going to be at we were just going to hang out by the pool at the link that we were staying in, and Brett had to be a little bit different. He was the only one in our entire group that did not stay at the link. Brett's like, hey, I'm going to be at – we're going to do this pool thing. Brett never showed up to the pool, the pool thing that we had, like the pool party that we had. He went to go watch Summer League. No big deal because we were supposed to meet that night. Well, little beknownst to Brett, like, I died at the pool along with like 4 or 5 other people. I didn't go to bed Thursday night until like midnight 1, and I woke up with Court and Derek and we started drinking at 7 a.m. So I was donezo by 5 p.m., never made it out, and Brett and I never met. And he went out. He went on the Ferris wheel. He hung out with everybody. We've just never met, and I was pissed off at first, but now I think it's kind of funny. And dude, we're going to set something up during the season, whether in the fall or the spring, where we're just going to pick a random basketball game to go to. I think I suggest to you, like, dude, let's just go to American Airlines Arena in Dallas or something stupid. But yeah, man, that's our Vegas story. We were in the same town, yep, right next to each other, probably within 2 miles, and we just never met.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm in the same boat, man. I was super disappointed at first. Like, I don't know when I met up with all those guys on Friday. It was like 5 or 6. And I'm just like, you guys seen Steve? It's like, I don't know if he's coming out, man. And
yeah,
I was like, dang, I was kind of like bummed. But then just a few days later thinking about it, I just like laughed out loud. Like, that's so fucking funny that we were both in Vegas and didn't meet. And it was, like you said, man, it was a pretty small window. I didn't get in until probably, you know, midnight on Thursday, and you had already been there all day. And then you were leaving early Saturday. And it's like, if we, like, I either could have gone to the pool, like woken up early on Friday, gone to the pool, met you, hung out. Would have been fun. Wish I had. I would do it that way.
That was – I even – and the funny thing is – it's my fault that I didn't go out Friday night to meet you guys. But, dude, I texted you twice on Friday, and you never texted me back.
I didn't see him until the next day. But, no, I know that was the plan. I was like, I'll meet you guys. If you guys are all going to the pool Friday morning, I'll meet you. And then I slept a little later than I thought I would. And I was like, all right, I need to get some breakfast. I got breakfast. And then it got to be like 11. And I think the summer league game started at 12 or 1. I'm like, if I go to the pool, I'm going to miss the whole day of games. And I was just determined to get to the games. And I guess I was just assuming I would see you later on.
I know. I know.
But I don't know. That pool was a motherfucker. And I respect it. But it's kind of funny to me. It's just funny. It's funny that we still haven't met face to face. And it just kind of adds to the mystique and the legend of the whole thing, man. Like, it's maybe that's just how it was meant to be up until this point. But next time, nobody's allowed to see each other until you and me do a shot.
I agree, man. I agree. There will be a next time. And dude, I think it'd be cool, man.
Maybe not in Vegas. Maybe not in Vegas. Cause that's the thing about Vegas is like, it's easy to just like lose track of each other. Like it's really hard to all be on the same page and all be on the same schedule. And everyone just kind of does Vegas differently. So like Vegas is probably the hardest town to meet up in. Like if we did a group trip to like some, you know, regular city,
Nebraska, like, bro. Nebraska.
Hey man, I probably wouldn't have got COVID in Nebraska.
No, you wouldn't have. But dude, I think it's cool, man, if we do like just some random basketball game. Even it's gotta be closer like to the West Coast, you know, for you. Cause you know, maybe
we'll go see a Huskers game. I like the Nebraska idea, man.
Yeah, dude. We'll probably end up dying down there too, but at least we'll die together.
We'll be together though. We won't be able to we'll be the only people like in you know in our vicinity, I'm sure. So I actually like that idea. Maybe not Nebraska, but something like Vegas.
Someplace so weird. But dude, we're gonna get together for a basketball game sometime this year. We'll plan it out pretty good. But yeah, man, that's our Vegas story, dude. So dude, until next time, Brett, this was awesome, dude. We will see you guys next week. I don't know when this is gonna come out. This is kind of an evergreen podcast, so we're recording this on a Thursday. Could even come out on Monday. And yeah, man, we're gonna bang these out for you guys once a week. And yeah, appreciate everyone listening. And we will see you guys next time. Appreciate everyone. Thank you.